Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday, before starting our study of 1 Samuel chapter 18, Dr. Bloom gave a commentary on several Supreme Court actions that go against godly living. Let's listen as Dr. Bloom starts with chapter 18 today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Now, if you have your Bibles, we'll go to 1 Samuel chapter 18, and we'll look at the first four verses here just to get us started. Daniel chapter 18, and let's look at verses 1 through 4. And so I hope that you have your spot and you're ready to follow along. It says, "And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle." Well, here we have a story that's going to involve Saul, Jonathan, and David. Now, in Saul and Jonathan, we have a father and son. If the so-called learned of this day were right, Jonathan would not be the man we see in our text. If Jonathan is a product of his environment, he goes against that teaching, because Saul, if he trained him up in the way he should go, he went the opposite of that. He went the way of righteousness instead of the way that Saul went. And yet, Jonathan was a man who honored his father. So he was in a bad Christian home and did right. We've seen of men that were raised in good Christian homes and did badly. So understand, we have a free will, and men are responsible for before God for their own actions. So often today, so much of Christian psychology wants to go back and blame the home, blame the parents, and take any responsibility off the child. My friend, every one of us shall give an account of himself unto God. Yes, people will answer for being bad parents, being hypocrites, and so forth. But that does not excuse a child or give a reason for the child going wrong. I've heard people say the reason all these kings in Israel went bad was because of David's sin. He was such a bad father. My friend, that is ignorant philosophy. If you're going to give false doctrine, false philosophy, at least don't allow it to be ignorant. But that, my friend, borders on total ignorance. And I tired of that myself, of seeing people blame parents, just like when President John F. Kennedy was killed. I remember as an eighth grade boy reading how the newspaper writers were saying it was society's fault. No, it was Lee Harvey Oswald pulling the trigger of a rifle's fault, not society. But on the other hand, as we look back now here at Jonathan, he is a product of the grace of God. This chapter takes a look at how a father and son reacted to a man who is anointed of God to lead a nation. A God-anointed man Now we look at the initial reaction. In verse 1, we're told that Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. This happens right after David killed the giant. And then David walks in and presents the head of Goliath to King Saul. Now, isn't that an interesting present to receive? I don't know if they had taxidermists in those days, but he comes carrying in the head of Goliath to give to King Saul. But what bravery of a man who seemed so humble and meek, a shepherd boy. Yet we remember Jonathan, who took on a garrison of the Philistine army. And yet, now, he is in that group that feared before the giant. I wonder if he thought, well, maybe this is a little bit too big for God. Now, I don't know if Jonathan thought that. He just somewhere, his faith wavered. Because him and his armor bearer took on the Philistine army. And Jonathan told his armor bearer, and back in chapter 14, verse 6, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. And Jonathan knew the power of God. Now, on the other hand, maybe Jonathan thought about going out to the giant. And God really impressed it on his heart, no, don't go. You know, sometimes there are good works that are biblically commanded works, like being a pastor, being a missionary, and other works that are good works, but may not be God's will for you to be the one that does that work, or in a specific place to do it. And so that's why you always seek the face of the Lord before you do anything. David was going to build the temple. And God said, no, you've been a man of war. You've shed too much blood, Dave. I'm going to let your son Solomon do it. And so, although building the temple was a good thing, it was not God's will for David to do it. So God has his reasons and his ways are always right. Why? Because the Lord is holy in all his ways and righteous in all his works. And we can say that the opposite way around is from Psalms 145:17, that he is righteous in all of his ways and holy in all of his works. Either way, it's right. Now, Jonathan fought the Philistine army with the same faith and bravery with which David fought the giant. Jonathan and David were two young men whose souls knit. And it had nothing to do with their positions in life, their hobbies, nor their tastes. Neither one of these men looked at their relationship as to gain an advantage for themselves. The Bible tells us that Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Matthew Henry, in his commentary, said it seemed as one soul in two bodies. I like that. If the Bible tells us that he loved him as his own soul, then, my friend, you might as well admit that the Bible's right, and these were the words of the Holy Spirit of God anyhow, so this is the truth. Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Isn't it interesting that that's one of the commands that we're given, that we're to love our brethren? Love your neighbor as yourself. Wow. And here we see it fulfilled with Jonathan, even though David will be taking the place that was set aside for Jonathan. Now, you ever notice, once you're saved and serving God, and you meet people in church, they may have a different profession in life, different hobbies, a different taste in food and living conditions. Yet a friendship strikes up, and they become fast friends. Although they never would have if they had never been saved. And at least not that same type of a person would have been their friend. It's so different. And isn't that interesting how God works like that sometimes, just to change us from inside out? I think of 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 and 7 in relation to that. It says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. See, Jonathan and David had a right attitude toward each other. You ever walk into a room and you turn on the light, it's late night, and you turn on a light, and you might see several roaches, bugs of some kind, maybe even mice. As soon as that light comes on, man, they take off running. They hide for cover. The light exposes them. And they get away. Well, I've found a lot of times that people don't want to be around righteousness because they love their sin. And you may have a child, you may have a mate, you may have a brother, sister, a parent, and you try to turn the light on for them, so to speak, by sharing with them the gospel. And they flee from that. And they love their sin. And by the way, that's just another example of people being responsible for themselves. Somebody flees because they're afraid of you and they're afraid of what you have to say about Jesus Christ and their sin and so forth. People today want to say, yeah, that church was just too strong. They're too fundamental. They're too this or too that. No, 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 no. Don't make excuses. That person never will get saved. They need to see that they need to be saved. That's the important thing. And so if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, though, we lie and do not the truth. And so make sure that you walk according to the word, and you'll be surprised at how strong a friendship that you can have with another brother and sister in Christ, that's so strong that sometimes you'll have a brother in Christ that your friendship and relationship with him is stronger than the brothers that you have on earth in the physical sense, in the fleshly sense. And that's just a great thing. It doesn't put the brothers in their fleshly sense down, but it tells you how God works in the hearts to bring men, women together for the glory of God. Now, for the moment, though, we see the contrast here in verse 2. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. For Saul and Jonathan, it seems there's two different things. Saul would not let David go home to his father. Wanted him right there at his side. Boy, he's going to be able to use this guy. Now, you might say, well, that seems like a commitment to his friendship. No. Saul's actions are for his own benefit.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No break. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.